Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel.
Second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, on page 1011. Starting to read at verse 31, the healing of a deaf and mute man. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. They begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means, "be opened." At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak."
First of all, I'd like to give you the big picture. What am I here to say? What am I here to share? And the big picture is that a man who is deaf and unable to speak clearly is brought to the Lord, who heals him. And then I will apply that to us in the closing minutes. But to put that text into its context, we read in Matthew, where Matthew gives the very large picture of those who were bringing the deaf and the blind and the lame and the dumb to our Lord Jesus and laying them at his feet. And Mark selects one person in particular and would like to draw our attention to it in his gospel. Now, at the beginning of Mark chapter 7, we find that the Lord is rebuking the Pharisees because he is saying, You honour me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. What a tremendous rebuke. And we read those rebukes in verses 1 to 23. And then in 24 to 30 of that chapter, he is in Tyre and Sidon, and there he heals the Syrophoenician's daughter. And then, having done that, he returns in verses 31 to 37. He returns to that area of land just east of the Jordan, which is called the Decapolis, or the Ten Towns, or the Ten Cities. And it is there that Mark draws our attention to this particular person. In verse 32, they brought to him one who was deaf and unable to speak clearly, and they besought him to lay his hand upon him. Now, please notice that. All they asked him to do was to lay his hand upon him. In verse 33, the Lord took him to one side, thrust his fingers in his ears, spat and touched his tongue, sighed deeply, looked up to heaven and said, "Ephphatha," be opened. The Lord is willing to do more than we ask him to do. If you are asking the Lord to do something for you this morning, or for one of your own this morning, be encouraged. He is willing to do more than we ask him to do. They asked him just to lay his hand upon him. And he said, "Oh, I'll not only lay my hand upon him, but I will do this, 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 and heal him completely." And this is not the first time that we see this truth revealed. When the mothers brought their children to the Lord Jesus, they said to him, "Oh, all we want you to do is touch them." And we read that he took them up in his arms, laid his hands upon them, and then uttered a blessing over them. "Suffer the little children, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Yes, Jesus is willing to do more than we ask him to do. But then, if you'll notice, this man was deaf, and we're not told he was born deaf, but he was a long time deaf because his speech had become impaired. We really do need to hear clearly if we are to speak clearly. This man had not heard for some time. And Jesus, aware of this, uses himself as a visual aid. He stands in front of the man. He puts his fingers in his ears. He spits and touches his tongue. He sighs and looks up to heaven and then speaks to the man, "Ephphatha, be open." The man didn't hear him say that, but he saw him say it. He saw Jesus say it. Because this man evidently had learned to lip read and must have done, having been long-term deaf. I have a friend who suffers from deafness, and he'll often say to me, "Look at me when you speak, because then I'm able to hear what you're saying to me," in inverted commas. Now, Jesus used himself as a visual aid, nor should we miss that deep sigh. Did you notice that? This could suggest two things. It could suggest when our Lord sighed deeply, other versions speak of it as a groan, something more than an exhalation of air. It was a deep groan. And we may see that perhaps as a release of the Holy Spirit in power and in healing. We may also see it as an expression of the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The hymn writer has it, who all our griefs hath known, that wounds the something breast. I've forgotten the final few words. But it's the whole idea that he knows our deepest concerns. He knows our deepest sorrows. So perhaps, yes, a release of the Holy Spirit and an expression of the man of sorrows who knows all our griefs and pains. And, of course, how compassionate the Lord Jesus is in removing the man from the crowd. If a man has not heard for so many years, and his healing is suddenly restored in a crowd, imagine the explosion of sound that would come upon him, almost to almost wound him. Our Lord took him away from the crowd into a quiet place. And there he said, "Ephphatha, be opened." And of course, in that quietness, isn't it nice, isn't it lovely to know that the very first voice that this man heard was our Lord's voice? What better voice to hear? May the Lord open our ears to hear as never before today. As we spend time in prayer, may we be people who are listening for him as we pray. As we have fellowship with one another, may we honour one another by listening to one another as never before. As we engage in a multi-faith society, which is not only multi-faith out there, it's not only multi-faith, but it is, in a sense, deeply unbelieving. There's a great deal of unbelief and secularism in our society today, mingled with multi-faith. May the Lord open our ears to hear as never before when we are engaging with society out there. It's only as we hear that we can begin to understand their needs and how we may approach them. And may the Lord release our tongues to speak as never before, in our teaching and preaching, as we share our faith with our neighbours, as we join to worship and praise him. Lord, open our ears to hear as never before. Lord, open and release our tongues to speak as never before, that we might bring praise and glory and honour to him and encouragement to one another. May it be so, for his dear name's sake.